Hello and welcome to another Book and a Chat from a very wet Connecticut. 50 years ago that was Woodstock, the No Rain Chant, and we could do with it here in Connecticut, because if it's not like about 3 hours of sun, then it's raining and everything's mushy and horrible and everything like that. Grass is growing as you watch it because of the rain and the sun and that. But I am here with another show, and so is my guest. Now, interestingly, the show's about a lady, in a way, a very special lady, I might say. But we're going to have to find out about that, because it's a little bit more than a lady. In fact, a lot more than a lady. But we'll find out in a minute, because I better introduce my guest, hadn't I? On the show today, I have very interesting guests for us all to listen to. And it's a fascinating story about, not just about that he's told, but also about how he's come to written this thing about this lady. And her name, by the way, was Susan Ruth. But we'll get to that in a minute, because on the show today, I have the one and only Steve Snyder. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific, Barry. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I should have said you're actually a multi-award-winning author now, because, well, I better give it away, haven't I? The person we talked about, Susan Ruth, is actually not a female per se. It is a plane, and is the main one of the main parts in your fantastic new autobiography, I guess, called Shot Down. But is this something a lot of people, it seems to me in the last sort of 10 years, people are picking up more of stories that have gone around through family and deciding to finally put them down, you know, on paper, so to speak. Is this, you know, something of a story that was linked, you know, obviously it's linked with your family because it's linked with you can explain, but it's something, I guess, that's been around, and you finally decided that you needed to tell the truth about it all.
Yeah, I did. Growing up, I knew the story, the basics of my dad's World War II history, Howard Snyder. He was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England with the 8th Air Force. His plane was named the Susan Ruth, his B-17 bomber, after my oldest sister, who was one year old. At the time that he went overseas. So actually, it is a real person, and it's a plane.
right. So I was both right, right? But, I mean, obviously, as you said, you sort of grown up knowing a bit of this story and everything, but obviously, and this is what I think your book shows, which a lot of other things are. You know, when you see the films and when you read this thing, and there's a cast of about 20 people, you know what happened to like two or three of them, perhaps, or something like that. But in your book, about your book Shot Down, you actually go into every person on that plane, don't you?
Yes, it's just not about my father, who was the pilot, the first pilot, but it's about each member of a 10-man B-17 crew. Their plane was shot down on February 8th of 1944 over Belgium, and the book goes into detail about what happened to each member of the crew. Five of them made it home, but five of them did not. And also about all the courageous Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them.
Right. I mean, even 44, you know, even though the sort of war was starting to turn, etc., the bombing was going into Germany, I should think, at that time. We'd started, and obviously the B-17s took a big part in that. They're still at risk. I mean, you were still surrounded by, you know, if you bailed out or if the plane went down, you know, you were at risk, weren't you?
Yeah, because they were shot down over occupied Belgium, so the Germans controlled the country at that time. So yeah, it was a big risk. It was a big risk going up against those German fighters up in the sky,
right,
against all
right.
that anti-aircraft fire. And
right.
then if you had to bail out, then you had to deal with possibly being captured or killed once you came down to the ground.
Right. So how long had your father been flying the B-17s?
Well, he arrived in England on October 21st of 1943.
All right.
And so he got shot down actually on his eighth mission. Some of his crew members had more missions than him. Some had less. A lot depended on, because guys would get sick. You know, that English weather is pretty wet and pretty cold. And guys were getting the flu and pneumonia all the time. And then lots of guys got injured on these combat missions.
Right,
it was brutal flying those missions. So, you know, guys were in and out of the crew. But it was the eighth mission that my dad was shot down on February 8th of 44.
So when you obviously you've gone through your work environment and that. Had you sort of thought about writing this all that time?
Oh, no. I had no it wasn't until I retired from my career job in sales in 2009 that I had the time to really delve into my dad's war history in more detail. And at that time, I had no intention of writing a book. I just wanted to go through all the material my parents had kept from the war years to learn more and to kind of organize it. There were two items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action about his plane being shot down, and that was absolutely riveting. And the other item were all the letters that my dad had written to my mother while he was stationed in England, and he was very candid in those letters. He went into detail about what combat missions were like, what life was like on the Air Force base, what life was like in England and London at the time, escapades of him and his crew. And reading those letters is just absolutely fascinating. And I became fascinated with the story of my dad and his crew. It really just became my passion. And I started doing more research. I read book after book about the air war over Europe. I went on the internet and spent countless hours doing research, downloading declassified military documents. I joined a number of World War II organizations, started going to reunions, listened to veterans tell their stories. And finally, 3 years into it, I just came to the conclusion that the story of my dad and his crew was so unique and so compelling that it needed to be told. So I decided to write a book.
Wow. And I mean, and then, as we said a bit earlier on, to try to get everybody's story, each of the crew, not just your dad or, you know, or these people, you know, they ended up in this and this. You actually followed each individual member of the crew and did their own stories in your book.
Yes, but I probably wouldn't have written the book if it wasn't for two Belgian gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war. They were greatly affected by it. They saw firsthand the atrocities committed by the Nazis against their family and friends. And later on in life, they became local historians, and they interviewed all these Belgian people and members of the Belgium underground about events that took place involving my dad and his crew, and they documented that, their testimonies. And they gave me unbelievably detailed information about events that took place that have been lost forever without their research. So I owe them a huge debt.
Because, yeah, as you said earlier on, you know, out of the crew, some didn't make it, some did, some ended up in, you know, prisoner of war camps. And I think your father actually escaped, didn't he, thanks to the Belgium underground?
Yeah, after my dad bailed out, he came down in some trees and his parachute was got hung up and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground, couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple of young Belgian men, Raymond Devin and Henri Franken, came to his rescue before the Germans got to him. They went back to the farmhouse, got a ladder and a rope, helped him down the tree, and they stole him to stay put because it was about early afternoon, and they thought it was too dangerous to try to move him and during daylight with all those German patrols combing the area. So they came back that night, got him, took him to him, the Dervans' farmhouse, stayed there one night because it was too dangerous to get in with all those Germans in the area. And after that, they moved him from place to place to place. He might stay one night in a home. He might spend 6 weeks. It all depended on how brave the Belgian people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there.
Right. So how did he manage to get back to England, I guess, in the end? Did he sort of leave from Belgium, or did he go out via, I don't know, Spain or something?
Well, normally the underground tried to get down airmen back to England through various escape routes, you know, into France, over the Pyrenees and into Spain, and then out through British-controlled Gibraltar. But something always went wrong trying to get my dad out. And finally, he got tired of hiding. So he decided to join the French resistance called the Maquis and started sabotaging German convoys.
Wow. So he carried on fighting. He said, if I can't get back in the air, I'll fight here on the ground.
Exactly.
And
then 7 months, he was missing in action for 7 months. Actually, my other sister was born while he was missing in action. So that was really tough on my mother. But
right.
He met up with Patton's Third Army after they came up through France after D-Day and liberated Belgium. And then he got back to England after that.
Wow. So your mother didn't know he was alive for that time?
No, not at all. They were shot down on February 8th. She got a telegram from the War Department on February 23rd saying he was missing in action, and she had no idea if he was dead or alive until he got back to England in late September, and sent her a telegram saying that he was okay. And that telegram's in the book. A nice thing about the book is that there's lots of excerpts from letters that my dad and crew members and family members wrote that make it personal. And there's also 200 time period photographs in the book, so you can visualize everything you're reading.
No wonder it's won so many awards. Yeah, you can imagine. Yeah, one or two letters, but lots of letters from all the crew and everything like that. I mean, how many of the actual, 10-man crew, how many in the end made it back?
Five made it back. Five of them did not.
I mean, just to sort of be able to share not just your father's experience, but everybody, of those crew, even those that didn't come back. To be able to sort of go into that, and also not only didn't you manage to even contact the German pilot who shot the plane down or something?
Yes, that was absolutely incredible. Hans Berger was the Luftwaffe pilot that shot my dad's plane down. Actually, they shot each other down. The gunners on my dad's crew shot Hans' plane down, and then Hans shot my dad's B-17 down. And I was so fortunate to find him. I owe it all to my wife, really.
Right.
Because it never even dawned on me to try to find him. But one day my wife, casually asked, well, why don't you try to find the pilot that shot down your dad's plane? Like, it's just as easy as going down to the market and getting a loaf of bread.
Right.
I thought that was a pretty crazy idea. She didn't know what she was talking about. But like a good husband, I did what she told me to do. And I found him. And fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks perfect English. And he's still alive today.
Oh, that's good.
95
Amazing.
Years old. Yeah. Lives in Amazing. Munich, Germany, and we've become good friends.
I think it's just amazing. This was past 60 years on. Coming up 70 years on after the war. More than 70 years on after the war. When, obviously during that time, a lot of stuff got lost, a lot of stuff got damaged, burnt, what have you. And yet here you were with following up on your, a story of your father and how he managed to escape and get back and everything. But not just that, you managed to find and contact or find information about not just these other people, but even the person who shot the plane down. It just seems amazing to me. It's obviously something was destined there.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, yeah. Whoever would have thought I would have been doing this? Because as I mentioned earlier, I had no intention of writing a book, and really this has changed my life since I wrote this book. It's been an amazing experience.
So how many years did you do the research for?
From the time I started the research to the time the book was published was 4.5 years.
Wow.
And it took
That's
me
a big chunk.
Yes, it was, but it it was a passion, like I say.
Oh, I bet.
It took me 12 months to actually write the manuscript, and then another 8 months to get it published.
Right? It was. I can imagine. You started going into it with one thing, and then you got more and more into it, and more and more. You must have just been amazed at the stuff that you were learning.
Oh, yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, I knew the basics, but the more I delved into this, the more, details I learned. And I'm still learning, since I wrote the book, I'm still learning details that and things that took place little by little.
I, 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 I was going to ask that because obviously now the book's out, you know, you get somebody contacts you out of the blue and says, "Oh, well, you know, I knew them when they, you know, he was stayed in my, you know, my father's farm and that sort of thing." You got anything like that happening? You know, people contacting you with information that you didn't even know?
Oh yeah, and this all took place in southern Belgium, just north of the French border. And it's all rural farmland there, and nothing's changed in hundreds of years. So those houses and farms where my dad stayed are still there. And I get goosebumps just talking about it, because I've been able to go in to some of these houses and seen the little room where my dad was hidden, or, you know, a rooftop that he hid on when the German secret police, the Gestapo, was trying to find him. It's pretty incredible that, you know, that history, you can go visit it. There's actually, there's a memorial to my dad and his crew, in a little village of Mackinac, just north of the French border.
Unbelievable.
Which is really nice. It's dedicated to the crew members.
Is there any people still alive in Belgium that remember, you know, hiding your father or any of the crew?
No, well, Raymond Durvan, one of the two Belgian people that helped my dad down out of the tree, he is still alive, but he's pretty old, and he's not quite, because he's around 100 years old, I think.
I think this sort of thing's wonderful, that he, after all this time, you know, this things are coming to light. I know my wife's father was drove a tank in the Battle of the Bulge, and he would never say anything. You know, he could ask him and he wouldn't answer. You know, he'd change the subject if you ask him about that. And my grandfather was in the First World War himself, and he won military medal and that. And you know, you ask him about how he got the military medal, which is only second to the VC in England. He said, "Oh, I was just lucky. I just, you know, somebody fell down." And never mind, you know, being under fire and all this stuff. People just seem reluctant, a lot of people, to bring those memories back. So it's important that people are there and to help get this information down to share with people.
Oh, absolutely. Like you say, most World War II veterans do not talk about their history at all. And, you know, most of the people I run into know very little about their veteran, whether it's a son or daughter or, you know, cousin or nephew. And my dad didn't talk about it really too much until 1989, when they built that memorial. He went over for the dedication, and there he was reunited with all these people that hit him during the war, revisited those places where he was hidden, and that brought it all back. And then he started talking about it. And then five years later, as you say,
opens the floodgate and the memories and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly.
So I can imagine that's the sort of thing, how it goes. But it's interesting what you say about people just don't realize. This day and age, especially, I find it horrendous. I forgot what it was. I think it was I can't think what it was. Something in the news in the last year or so. People didn't know what the Holocaust was. People didn't know about this, that, and the other. And I always bring up the whole thing about. I did a program about 4 year ago on books being banned, and there was a area in Texas where 70,000 children were stopped from reading the Diary of Anne Frank because one family said the Holocaust never happened.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I was talking to two older teenage children, and I was sort of talk to them about the sort of stuff, and you know, they have an idea about it and everything else like that. But when I was growing up, my parents made myself and my sisters sit there and watch World of War on BBC, and obviously this is the 50s, and you're talking about when everything's fresh and all the newsreels were there and everything like that, and we had to watch it so that we knew about it. And these days it's not shared, though I did read last week that there is some company or some body bringing out, and it's like the Diary of Anne Frank, but it's a different diary. I can't think of the girl's name, but like a, how can I say, watered down might not be the right word, but a version of this that people can, children can read without getting too upset, perhaps, you know, to understand the stuff. But even, you know, but it's this stuff has to be shared and it has to be kept alive. And you have to know about this. And something like this, which goes into the courage of the people, you know, if not just your father, but the, as you said, the people, you know, the people in Belgium that hid him, that from farm to farm, and they were putting their lives at risk. I mean, if they'd have been caught, he'd have been caught there, that would have been, they'd have been shot, basically.
Absolutely.
No two ways about
they
it.
They saved my dad's life. They risked not only their lives, but those of their family and friends.
Family,
and some of
yeah.
the Belgian people that helped my dad and other members of his crew did meet that fate, either were sent to, prisons or kills.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's wonderful that you, and obviously, you know, as I said earlier on, I mean, you've won 25 or see loads of awards, and I think that's part of it. The fact that you're able to share this with people with the letters and the pictorial part and everything. So it covers everything. It covers everybody, not just the sort of, you know, this is my father, this is what he did. The fact that you've taken the time and the initiative and everything to go into everybody, all 10 people on that plane, not just, you know, it's not a film with just the two stars and forget about the rest, you know. This goes into everybody, and that's why I think it's, a lot of people must be really impressed and enjoying the book.
Yeah, it's been very well received, and it's also really a history about the entire air war over Europe, and really about what was happening during the war. And like you alluded to, you know, if these stories aren't told, they're lost forever. Yeah. And the memory of World War II is fading, and it's it's really the purpose of my. I do a lot of speaking and presentations, and go into air shows signing copies of my book. And really, my goal is just to, remember the air war over Europe, to honor the men who fought it, and to educate the younger generations about it, so that it's not forgotten.
Totally true. Interesting, about this not forgotten. I can. There's a. We have the Battle of Britain flight, which is a Spitfire, a Hurricane, and a Lancaster bomber. And those are the ones that go over the air shows and, you know, at royal events, at coronations and stuff like that, weddings and that. You see them do a overhead flight. Every time, even today, they go over and everybody's head turns and, you know, and people are just so honoured to see that sort of thing. And I think it's right that, you know, that kids that might ask what it is and be told what it is. And same with your book, the fact that you go into all this and how harrowing it was and the risk that was and the fact that these people didn't make it because of whatever reason, that people, it's the sort of book that people can share with their children, I think, and teenagers, you know, who don't know, got a vague idea, but don't really know. So I think this is a great book for every age group.
Oh yes, I'm always so happy when I go to different book signings or air shows, and you know, younger kids want to read the book, and I've had kids, you know, 5-6 years old read the book.
Yeah.
So it's definitely appropriate for all ages.
And it's the sort of thing that would lead to questions being asked and conversations, which opens the door to knowledge that otherwise, you know, people of a younger age wouldn't have. So I think that's it. It's not an open and shut story. It will encourage people to ask questions.
Hopefully so, yes. Because there was no other event in history that affected more people than World War II. 60 million people died. Millions more were wounded. Millions more were left homeless and displaced. It's changed the course of the world forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. And yeah, as you were saying, you know, I can see with awards and everything, but from what you sort of read, it's been really well received.
Yes, it's Yeah, it's really been a humbling experience and a very rewarding one.
Excuse me. I thought I was going to blow your ears off. I could feel the sneeze coming. So are you thinking about writing anything else, or is this it? You've done it now.
Well, right now I'm working on making a documentary. I've gone over.
Nice.
I visited Belgium 5 times. I'm going over again this fall for the 75th anniversary, and we mm-hmm. have hours and hours and hours of footage that we've shot in Belgium, and I filmed an interview with, you know, Hans Berger, and so hopefully that'll come to fruition and we can get that together. But that's kind of what I'm working on now, and in addition to, you know, promoting the book. And it's really a full-time job.
Oh, I bet. Oh yeah, I always tell people, they think that when they've written the book, that's it, the hard work done. Now that's the hard work just starting. Once that book's out, that's when you'd really have to work hard. It's been, anyway, time is beating us, I'm afraid, Steve. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where, of course, they can find more about you and your fantastic book.
Okay, well, thank you very much. My website is stevesnyderauthor.com. That's Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, stevesnyderauthor.com. And that has lots of information about the book. If someone wants to buy an autographed copy, they can do so on my website. If anyone wants to contact me, my email is steve@stevesnyderauthor.com. And of course, it's available on Amazon, and it's available really in all formats, a hardcover book, a print book where it has all the pictures. It's available in all ebook formats. It's also available as an audio book, although you don't get any pictures in the audio book either,
right.
Either on Audible or Amazon or iTunes. So it's you know, it's available in a lot of different formats.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I had a feeling this was going to be a fascinating discussion, and so it was. I really appreciate you coming on. Good, great, great book shot down, and good luck with the future, and let's hope that television thing comes to fruition.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Steve Snyder. And as he said, you can find him at stevesnyderauthor.com. And we've been talking about his fantastic book. I tell you, it's fantastic, about his father, Harold Snyder, and the plane Susan Ruth, and those that were flying it, in this wonderful story with all these pictures and letters and everything, called Shot Down. Shot Down, that's the name of it. Winner of 20 National Book Awards. I think it's 25 now as well. I think it's gone up. Look out for that. I really think that's a great book for everybody to learn, to read and to be educated from. Well, that's it. I will be back tomorrow, and my guest tomorrow, let's have a quick look, Ayn Kate Sullivan. I'm going to have trouble with that, A-Y-N, Ayn Kate Sullivan, we're talking to tomorrow. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.